Welcome to 721 Live. Thanks for listening into the show today. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad you've joined us. It's Friday. It's 721 Live. The weekend's here. Can I ask you just to slow down a minute and spend the next 30 minutes with us just seeking God's voice and His will for our lives and thinking about what He might have to say to you? If you're driving in the car, if you're listening via the net, just slow down and take a deep breath and say, Lord, what would you speak to my heart? Because He has something to say to each of us if we'll just open up and listen. Today, we've got a great topic, joy to fear. How do we live in joy and then move to this a life of fear? How much joy do we really have? And how and where is fear messing up your joy, messing up your life? Joy to fear. It's a great topic, and I've got a really great friend and a dear friend and a guest in the studio with me today, Randy McCride. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. As you can see, I'll do anything for a free lunch.
I was sitting there this morning thinking about the show, and I said, I want to call my good friend Randy and say, just come in and chat with me a little bit about this topic, because we talked about it earlier in the week. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors for today's show, Go Fish Clothing and Jewelry in downtown Greenville. My friend Tom Angermeyer, owner of Go Fish, tells me that the mission of Go Fish is to positively impact the lives of disadvantaged people throughout the world. Go Fish offers beautiful goods handcrafted by these artisans in developing countries, and they do this to bring the hope and encouragement of Christ all. So if you're looking for a one-of-a-kind gift or a gift for someone special, please stop in at Go Fish Clothing and Jewelry, downtown Greenville. They're open from 10 on Fridays and Saturdays until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. They're located right across the street from Falls Park. Be sure to check them out next time you're in downtown. And they give away NIV Bibles. They call it God's Story. Good people. 612 South Main Street, 250-0200. Just to give them a call, 250-0200. And our other sponsor, Spartan Business Systems. And more on these friends later. Feel free to call us at 888-660-WLFJ. That's 888-660-9535. And 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. You can go to our website and check out what we do and some of the things we write about and have to say at 721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. And the name comes from Jesus' words to us at Matthew 7:21, 22, and 23, where He says, listen, please don't show up on Judgment Day and start giving me your list of things you've done. It's not about busyness. It's not about church work. It's about knowing each other. And Jesus says, I will have to interrupt a lot of people and say, I don't know you. Away from me, you evil doers. And that's a harsh reality, and it's a bad surprise, and we don't want to know that. And Randy, you and I have both lived a life where we might would have thought we would have been fine and would have given him our list of things that we would have done. Isn't that? Can you relate to that?
Absolutely. That's right, Sam.
And we see it all the time. Randy and I will talk about this passage in front of men or in front of friends, and we'll have someone say, I'm that guy. I'm the guy. Well, Jesus wouldn't know me. Well, my guest today is Randy McCride. He's an old friend from Sumter, and I am glad to have you on the show today, Randy. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks again.
Let me just say this real quickly about Randy. I became a believer 13 years ago. I knew long before that Randy was, and yet he didn't fit any of the stereotypes that I had, negative stereotypes that I had, mistakenly, misperceptions that I had about Christians. And shortly after I became a believer, one day there was a door, it was a book at my door, and it was Walking in the Details of Life. Do you remember giving me that book?
Yeah, I do.
It was by, Patrick Morley,
I think? Yep.
And, you know, Randy was one of these Christians that I could look at and go, well, wait a minute now, he does break my misperception of what a Christian would be like. He's successful in business. He's in contracting. He's a builder, so he's a man's man. Yet he's a fun guy to be around, and he's interesting, and he's got a good personality. And you just broke down those barriers for me, and it's always been an encouragement to my life. And I just appreciate that. I just wanted to say that, Randy. Hey, listen, today we're going to talk about joy to fear. Now, let me just throw this out, that the cost of anxiety disorders in the United States is estimated to be about $47 billion per year. $47 billion for the cost of anti-anxiety disorders. For depression, up to $53 billion. When you start talking about opportunity costs alone that are lost and missed, $100 billion. We are living in a world of fear, but that's not the way God designed it. In Genesis, we know God designed a world, created a world that was joyful, full of joy, and there was no fear. It's interesting that the end of chapter 2 in Genesis, the very last passage says, the very last verse says, the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. They were naked and they felt no shame. They had no fear. And then, of course, we know what happens. They make bad decisions. And the next thing we see is verse 8 in chapter 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" Now listen to this answer, because this is just such a microcosm of our world. He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And God said, "Well, who told you that you were naked?" Well, I can guarantee you who told him he was naked was Satan. Before that, they were naked and they felt no shame. And now, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Fear is rampant in our society. God did not design a world of fear. He designed a world of joy, but we have slidden out of that, and now we are born into a world of fear. How do we get out of that, and how do we stay more in that world of joy? I think fear is just an overwhelming thing. Randy, do you agree that fear is a big issue for us?
Yeah, no doubt, Sam. I really do. And I used to not think of it in those terms. I probably thought of it more in terms of worrying. And I actually felt justified when I was younger that, you know, if I don't worry about this, then that's I'm being responsible by worrying about it.
Yeah.
Or if I don't white knuckle this, it isn't going to get done.
Sure.
And that's the only way to get it done is just to worry about it and get it done myself.
I used to see it and think, you know, it's not fear, it's anger or you know, that I'm, you know, sure, like, just like you say, I'm just being responsible, but it might even be greed or envy, but it's fear. It's always fear. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about fear in our lives as men. Now, you know, believe me, fear grips women, it grips all of us, but we're two men sitting in here. And so what I want to ask you, Randy, is what does fear look like in a man's world? And I say this because men typically wouldn't dare to admit being afraid about anything. It's not the way we're trained, and I think that becomes a hindrance to us. Women are more in touch with that, and let me assure you, fear is a major issue for women. But you're in the building business. You've been in the contracting business for a long time. That's a rough and tumble man's world. Do you recall times when fear gripped you, when fear got you?
Yeah, and it's funny, Sam. Early when I was out of college, early in my professional career, I knew that as men we get a lot of our security at what we do, but I kind of thought I was immune to that and that I didn't really get a lot of security until one day my boss, you know, sat me down and said, "I'm going to have to let you go." And so basically I went about a week, only a week without a job, but I was freaking out. I mean, I thought, I can't believe how much fear has gripped me from just this uncertainty. And then as I've gone on in my career, just uncertain economic times. And I think as men, our minds are hardwired to go to the worst case scenario. And I begin to think, what if this happens? What if, you know, what if the worst case scenario happens? What am I going to do?
And that's where we go with our minds. Worst case. What if? Randy, you've been in business for yourself for years now, and I used to be in the renovation business. Randy still is in the renovation business, and he was always a much bigger contractor, a much better contractor than myself. But tell me, can you think of any times when you've been in business for yourself in the middle of a project that fear jumped in there?
Yeah, you know, it's funny how finances can do that to us, and I think we worry the most about if we're going to have, you know, money to get by. And so in the construction business, you only have to not be paid one time to be in big trouble. And so that's definitely happened to me before in my career. And you tend to get gripped by fear and worry. You really do.
Now, let me just relate something to you that I think you and I both have dealt with. You're in a big project. And you've got deadlines, and you've got architects, and you've got owners, and it's a big deal, and people they're uptight about things because these big projects go on for a while. And you get a call from your electrician saying, "I'm not going to be there today." Now, you know, we would think the first response is anger.
Right.
But what is it really?
It's really fear. Fear of what everybody's going to say, fear of what the homeowner's going to say, fear of, again, worst case scenario.
And it's fear. Yeah. We are just afraid of what they're going to do. And then that starts to get all in us and starts to throw us off track. And so, we're in business. Fear's got you. And you've had it happen. I know you and I have shared talks about being in business and when those things. Looking back, how did that harm you, that fear? And maybe how did it exasperate the problem?
You know, for me, I think the word confusion comes to mind. I would get confused, just a lack of clarity in the situation, and just clouded thinking.
hard to think straight in that situation.
Right.
All right. How about sleep? Does it affect your sleep any?
Yeah, it does. You know, I mean, there are times when I've just woken up in the middle of the night just thinking, you know, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do? Again, worst case scenario, God can't handle this. I'm going to have to figure this out.
He's not watching. This is a worldly thing, and I've got to take care of it. All right, how does that affect you at home when something like that happens, when fear? Because we as men, we any women that are out there that you're listening, you know you're in business, you've got issues that come at you, and then all of a sudden you're back at home.
Yeah, at home, you know, it's funny, or actually it's sad, how the people that we love the most in our lives, the ones that we care about the very most, are the very ones that we treat the worst. Mm. You know, they get the worst of us where, you know, I want Mary and my wife to have the very best of me. I want to be the most compassionate and patient with her and with my children. But in reality, they tend to get the worst of me. They really do.
And you know, would you say that fear, when it gets us, then, of course, our patience goes out the window. We start snapping. We start fussing. We're not the fathers or the mothers, the parents that we would want to be. Speaking of home life, what does fear look like there, Randy?
You know, for me, fear brings on is tension. Mm-hmm. You can cut it with a knife in the home. It's just conflict. And the more afraid I am of things, there's just tension.
The more conflict. And I agree with that totally. Whenever we find ourselves in conflict, and whenever you find yourself in conflict, if you're listening today, and I want you to think deeply about this. When that happens, when your emotions start to rise, I can tell you it's fear that's getting into you. It's fear that's gripping you. And that fear doesn't come from God. It comes from Satan, and it comes from what's inside of us. Fear is the root of all conflict. You would not be in conflict. I mean, you may have to work through issues with people, but when the emotions rise, it's always fear that's getting us. How does that impact you with your wife, Marion, now, that fear? When you're in conflict with her, what does that look like?
You know, it's again, my mind will go to the worst case scenario where she'll, there's something, and I'll be thinking, well, Marion thinks I can't handle this.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
That's not what she's thinking at all. But my mind goes to that kind of fear, and also just the fear of lack of respect. You know, the Bible tells wives that they are to love, or they tell us husbands that we are to love our wives, but the Bible says that the wives are to respect their husbands. And I realize how important that is to me here just recently. And, you know, I could tell my wife, I respect you, but if I don't, what she needs from me is love. Mm. And consequently, she can say to me, I love you, but what I really want to see it from her is respect.
Yeah, and that really is it, and that's what we're afraid of in the conflict. We're afraid she's not going to respect us, she's not going to think the most of us, she's going to start to think down that we're not doing our part. We as men, we're not killing enough meat out there and bringing it home, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and it's all goes back to respect. You know, it's interesting that when you read Scripture and God says, husband, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands, He knew a long time before we did, before the psychologists figured out, that's what we got to have. That's the way we are designed. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. You're with 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. Thank you for being with us. We've got a great topic today. I've got my friend Randy McCride in the studio with me. We're talking about joy and fear. And you know, we spend our lives more on the side of fear than we do on joy. We're going to talk more about that. I want to mention a couple of things to you. Each week, we publish from 721 Ministries The Putting Green, and it's a recap of what we've talked about this week. You can go to our website, 721ministries.org. That's the number, 721ministries.org, and you can find those putting greens. I think you'd enjoy them. Try that. Take a look at that, and you can sign up for a weekly mailing of that each week on by email. Also, remember to call us if you have any questions, any comments, 888-660-WLFJ. That's 888-660-9555. 1-800-795-3535. And our other sponsor for today's show, Spartan Business Systems. Good friends of mine, Bill Sism and his partner, Dennis Kimbrell, both Christians, both good men, have a philosophy to treat people right, give them good products at a fair price. They carry Toshiba and Lexmark copiers, printers, fax machines, multifunction systems, anything you can imagine, ranging in price from $350 to $30,000. So their line of products covers a full spectrum of your needs. Spartan Business Systems over in Spartanburg, they have a website, SpartanCopy.com. That's SpartanCopy.com, or you can call them at 888-593-1300, 888-593-1300. They do service. They do sales. These are good folks, and they do a great job. Thank you for sponsoring our show. We have been talking about joy and fear. God designed our, original designed our world for a garden of joy, that we would have no fear, that it would just be contentment, peace, and it got messed up. And, of course, we mess it up every day. We slide in and out of the design God had for us with joy, and we slide into fear. We've been talking about what does that look like? What does that fear look like? Because most of us don't recognize that the two base emotions from which all other emotions emanate are love and fear. We have that choice, love and fear. We think of it in other terms, but that is when, that is really it, fear. Now, we were finishing up the first half of the show. Randy and I were talking about what does fear look like with our wives or our significant others or with your husbands, and it's always conflict. It's always conflict, and the man is worried that the wife doesn't respect him, and the woman is worried that the husband doesn't love her. Now, imagine a husband standing in front of a wife saying, I respect you. You can't imagine the immense respect I have for you, but I don't love you. What a dagger that would be in her heart. And then you turn around and say, and the wife says to the husband, I love you, I love you, I love you so much, but I don't have any respect for you. You know, you see, God designed us that way, and that is the way we are wired. However, we don't need to let that run away with us and have fear grab us. It's our holy, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we really want to love us. And when we know that we're loved by Him, we don't have to let fear get in there and get us. That passage from 1 John chapter 4, perfect love. There is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear. Our Heavenly Father's perfect love drives out fear. So we're talking about what does it look like at home? What does fear look like in our home? So, Randy, what about with our children? What does fear look like there? You've got two wonderful children.
Yeah, now that really hits home when you're talking about fear with your children. You know, worried and scared of what their future might look like, mm-hmm. or just... you know, God, you can't handle this. I'm going to have to do it on my own. And also what others think. You know, a good example, I think, is one time we were in church and my son, he was being real fidgety. And like any other 12-year-old boy, he was just being real fidgety in church. And I kept poking him and I kept, you know, darting my eyes at him and giving these evil looks. And, you know, it was really a time of tension right there in church. And a couple of days later, I had to tell him, I had to say, Martin, you know, you need to forgive me because I was just really worried about what others were thinking of me while you were fidgeting in church. All I could think about was, you know, who's behind me? What if this, you know, what if this person sees me? What are they going to think of me that I can't, you know, stop my kid from fidgeting? But it's just a fear of what others think about.
Isn't that amazing how much that really is the core issue, is what others think? I mean, sure, we worry about our children's safety, and we're concerned for our children's safety, and that's natural, and we're concerned that we want the best for them, that they won't make bad choices. But more often than not, you can mine it down to what others think. I remember when my daughter Britton was in high school and not studying, not paying attention to what was going on, and we fussed about it often, and we talked about it often, and I would say, if you don't study, you're not going to get into Clemson. You're not going to get into the college that you want to get into. And she'd say, fine, I don't care. And I'd say, well, you don't know what your future will hold if that doesn't work out. And all the time, of course I'm concerned for her future. I want the best for her. But really, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what will others think if my daughter doesn't go to college and doesn't get into the college she wants? That's more than what I was thinking. And what I found when it comes to our children is that fear drives us to white knuckle, to try to control. And you know, Randy, we don't control our children's future.
Oh, absolutely not.
We try to. And what happens when we try to control those types of things.
We just mess it up.
We mess it up, and what I've really started to realize is now, well, yes, we are parents. We have a responsibility to guide them, to influence them, to teach them. We have that responsibility, and we want to live out that responsibility, but we don't control their future. It is their journey. They are actually, first and foremost, God's children, not ours. When we realize that and realize that it is indeed their journey, if my daughter had not made it into Clemson, she would have consequences that would be part of her life. God could use that. He might actually be saying, Sam, you're getting in the way. You're acting like an amateur providence, which is Oswald Chambers loves to say that. Don't be an amateur providence. Don't get in the way of God's plans for someone's life. I mean, yes, there's a fine line. We all know what that fine line is if we'll just slow up and think about it. When we're driven by a need to control, that's a negative. When we're compelled by love, that's another thing. So it's fear of what others think. Okay, Randy, how do we typically start the slide from joy to fear? What are some of the warning signs? What's happening as we move from a sense of contentment and peace and joy with our Heavenly Father to fear?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You talk about control because in the past several months, I think it was a CD you actually gave me that I heard a sermon, and basically it's very simple, but the fact that God knows what's best for me, and I don't. And although I think I do, and I wake up every day thinking, I definitely know what's best for me today, I really don't. And He really does. And until I can believe that and begin to preach that to myself every single day, I'm going to worry. I'm going to try to control it because I think I know what's best for me. And I just need to place my trust in Him.
Oh, that's a great thought, Randy. And, you know, we say this all the time in our men's groups. We're not advocating sitting in a closet and praying and not doing anything. That is not the God's design. He looks to us to do our part, to use our brains that He gave us, to think through things, to be prudent, to even be proactive. But to recognize it's really His will is the best thing. So we abandon the outcome to God. We don't control the outcome. We can do our best to control our part of it, which is okay to be prudent, to be proactive, but God controls the outcome. And it's when we think we have to control that outcome is when we get sideways. What it starts to look like in that situation is we kind of start to get in a hurry. Wouldn't you agree with that, Randy?
That's right. If we can just slow down, you know, we got a friend that says, if we will just be silent and be quiet, then we have a lot more options.
Irv Philpott, we'll give him the credit for that. He said, if you'll just be quiet, you preserve your options in any situation. But, you know, that's the thing. It really does come down to our will. That is the core issue. When fear grips us, it's because we haven't really bought into the realization, to the truth, that it is best when God's will works out. But we want our will. We want things to go our way. And so we hurry. We rush. We control. We white knuckle. You know, Satan rushes us. God guides us. Satan rushes us. God guides us. All right, let me throw out a couple of things, Randy. Here's what happens. You know, we typically start sliding from joy to fear, and we start hearing the voice that says, what if? You said that just a few minutes ago. What if? What if? We hear the voice, if I don't, it won't. Or I've got to do something now. What will people think if, or how will I ever? So, Randy, now those voices start jumping in. What do we do when this starts happening?
Well, I think we need to remember the facts first and not have it based so much on our feelings. We need to remember, like I said, God knows what's best for me, that He is in total control, and that I'm not in control, and also that He is so trustworthy, and that we can look back over our lives and see how He has been so trustworthy. And that I can place my future in His hands. Those are the facts. But yet, we tend to put the feelings first.
All right, let me interrupt you and I'll throw this out. Three words. Faith, facts, feelings. Faith, facts, feelings. How do we rank those in order of importance when it comes to our Christian walk?
Well, normally we're supposed to put the facts first. But we tend to put the faith first. But the facts come first, then the faith, and then the feelings will come behind.
Feelings are a distant third. Facts, well, the facts are God loves you perfectly. He's in charge. He will take care of it. When you lock into that, then the faith, which can waver, will strengthen again. Then the feelings can come along behind that. Feelings should be a distant third. Dallas Willard says, feelings are okay as servants, but they are disastrous masters. They are disastrous masters. Remember this now. If you're listening today, just hear this. We react in fear. We respond in faith. Trust. We react in fear. We respond in faith. Remember that. We react in fear. We respond in faith. We're in trust. Trust in God's perfect love. Here's the number one thing, Randy, that I want to leave with our friends today that are listening. Distinguish the temporal from the eternal. When fear is coming at you, remember, this is a short life. Even the most tragic of situations, it's a short life. It is distinguishing the temporal from the eternal. Randy, I'm glad you're on the show today with me. I appreciate that. I want to leave you with this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. We do not lose heart. We are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Thanks for listening to the show today. Remember to visit our website, 721ministries.org. So long, God's peace to you. Hope to see you next Friday.